The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. And The Blitz, click like. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975, at Dog on the Loose. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776.
Mr. Less of a pain in the ass now that she's not tied to a leash, right?
Yeah.
She's kind
of
staying away from
us. She was getting kind of tangled up with stuff before. So now she's just kind of wandering around trying to figure out what the hell's out there. Just keep Juggalo Trey away from her. Probably a good idea.
I think Juggalo Trey's a little bit scared of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tyler suggested that we put some drugs on Juggalo Trey and let him run and then just let the dog go on him. But
that'd be kind of fun.
He didn't seem to think that was a good idea.
Who has drugs? Just out of curiosity.
I'm guessing Tyler.
Oh, okay. Not a share, for God's sakes. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Man, I am so ready for the weekend to be here.
Oh,
this has been a long week. So you're going to Austin, huh?
Yes. Just for the evening, just for the night.
Beer release?
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Man, can I just say ESPN continues to jump the shark?
What did they do now?
Well, I went to lunch today. Actually, went and got some barbecue.
Okay, where'd you go?
I went to Jackson Street, which I love their brisket. I think their brisket matches up with anybody. I still have not had a side there that makes me go, okay, this is good. But I do like their brisket quite a bit, so I highly recommend that if you go there. But I'm watching. They've got ESPN on. They've got, I guess, Matt Rhule's making the whole, running the gauntlet, as they call it. They had somebody on there playing ping pong with him on the Sports Center set.
Isn't this like the second time they've done that?
It's the first time I've seen it.
Didn't they have somebody playing ping pong a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. I know they were playing with an Etch-A-Sketch like a month ago, and I don't know what else they did.
I mean,
but they
sent
some weird stuff.
And I mean that's really what ESPN's about now, playing ping pong with a football coach. Our buddy Dustin went and saw Dunkirk last night.
He
just raved about it.
Really?
In fact, I just posted a review he did on the website.
I heard that it looked good, like it's visually very good, but it's not the best told story.
Well, he loved it. He said it's one of the best things he's seen.
All right.
So,
might argue.
Ehab says they were playing checkers last time on ESPN.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
God, who wants to watch? I don't know. They're trying so hard now to not suck, and that's what they do. Okay. 713-780-ESPN.
I want to get paid to just sit there and play checkers or play with the Etch-A-Sketch.
What a life, right?
Huh.
What a life.
That we could. I was going to make an inappropriate comment, but I'm not going to do it. Squeeze in a phone call.
Oh. Dog's in your crotch.
Yeah.
Do you have drugs?
No, I wish I did. I wish I had some weed. And the dog would be over here sniffing even more.
He went over there like, hey, what's in there?
He caught me by surprise, too. I'm sitting here looking at my computer, and all of a sudden there's a snout in my crotch. I'm like, whoa.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's just funny. It just adds to the show. That's all. Let's she's a big part of the show today. Let's squeeze in a phone call from Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey guys, how's it going? Sports
to you, sir.
Hey, I was just calling about the Astros and some of the fans not wanting to trade any prospects. I'm a Rangers fan myself, and I remember, you know, we didn't want to trade Jerks and Profar for anything because he was the number one prospect at one point.
Yeah, how you feeling about that now?
You can see how that turned out. Is his trade value is probably nil now.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about prospects. Once they're shown for what they are, if they're not great, they never have that value that they had when they were a prospect. This time last year, Alex Bregman could have gotten you Chris Sale.
Well, a package. It wasn't going to just be Alex Bregman.
But
you're going to have to give up
package.
More. Yes.
Now that we know, like that the league knows what Alex Bregman is, his value is nowhere near what Chris Sale's value is. And that's the thing, like Kyle Tucker and Preston Tucker and every Jimmy Tucker and every other Tucker there is, and Derek Fisher and all these guys.
Spanky Tucker. That's my favorite.
Kelly Leak Tucker. All of them, once they're big leaguers, if they're not great, their value was higher before they played in the big leagues, because that unknown is what people like, because they feel, oh, the potential is there.
And it helps us down the road. Well, most of these guys don't pan out.
They don't.
Even the high picks. So.
Yeah, Jerks and Profar is a really good example of that, of a guy who people thought the world of, could play every position. And that, I mean, that guy, he's not a good player. He's a toolsy guy. He's got a lot of stuff, but he's not a good baseball player. And that's what happens to a lot of these prospects. Prospects have tools. They don't always develop to major league level.
Yeah. And, hey, I mean, I love the fact that they've got such a good farm system that they've got people that teams want.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. And you can make some of these deals without giving up all those guys. Yeah, that's the other part of it. You're not going to – now just because I would give up every single one of them doesn't mean that Astros are actually going
to
do that.
Or that they need to.
Yeah. And it depends on what they're adding. But
I'm just saying,
if you get two arms and it costs you – three of those prospects, I'm okay with it. If you get two really good arms that help you have a better chance to win the World Series.
My thought is I just don't – there's not that I would want to give up all of them, but there's not one guy in that system that I wouldn't give up
right
for the right guy. You know what I mean?
Right. And when we had this conversation a couple of years ago, I was saying McCullers is a guy I wouldn't give up. I don't know that there's anybody that I look at right now that I'd say the same thing about.
Or there's no Correas in this minor league system.
And Correa is one of the few guys whose stock has gone up since he was the number one prospect.
Well, Correa is also one of the guys that I always said, you never trade him.
Right.
I mean, no matter what the offer is, because he could turn into a legitimate superstar player. And he looked like that from day one.
Yeah, he always.
You know, a lot of these other guys, they're like, well, he could develop into this kind of a player. And I'm not looking to gamble like that.
Steve asked, did the cops release an artist composite of the monkey? Maybe I've seen him. There's no pictures.
If you've seen a monkey on the street,
it's probably him.
There's a good chance it's him. So
in South Houston,
yes,
or so, Caesar could be Caesar.
Well, he could be traveling by now too.
Well, that's the other thing, and he may be headed for the Astrodome.
Got to be so great if he would like get on the back of a bird and fly off.
Ooh,
that'd be the best.
This uprising is getting a little scary.
Man, I saw a video that, you know, I love animal videos. I saw a video, I don't know if it was a hawk or, you know, some kind of eagle, but a very large bird was flying around a mountain and grabbed a mountain goat.
Wow.
And, like, tried to pick it up and fly away with it. And
that's ambitious.
It is. And it was kind of, like, it would get off a couple feet off the ground and then it'd have to drop it back down, but it had its hooks in its back. And it just kind of struggled him all the way down the mountain. Like this goat was like sort of run jumping down the mountain as this bird tried to fly away with it. And another goat started started chasing and trying to hit the bird to save his goat friend. And eventually, like, the goat started to tumble and I guess the bird got discombobulated and had to let go, and the goat kept running. Goats are tough ass animals. But
if he had knocked him down that mountain and he'd smashed his little head, he would have had a lot of goat meat.
That's true. But can you imagine a bird just trying to pick up a goat?
That's crazy.
These birds out here, they're not playing around.
It's about time the animals fought back.
Yeah. All right, guys. I got to tell you, Tri-Eagle Energy, the summer months are here. It's time to start thinking about your electricity bills, and Tri-Eagle is a good place to start. They're a Texas-born and raised Texas company that they help you. They're looking to help decrease your energy usage. They're trying to make your whole home more energy efficient. And right now, shopping for electricity rates is as easy as ever. They're trying to give you a simple fixed rate, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. Sign up for the Basic Eagle 12. It locks you in for 12 months at 8.4 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. You'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. What are you waiting for, guys? It's an easy decision that you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE. Or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. PUCT number 10064.
Complete with thick scars. Brothers with each other up in prison yards. Drama, where does it start? You know the block was ill as a youngster. Every night it was like a cop with a body found in the dump.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Your dog has taken quite the liking to me. She wouldn't let me out. I was trying to get out to go get some water, and she kept diving for the door every time. I think it's funny, after we're talking about the animal uprising, that she's kind of taking over in here.
Yeah. She's a friend of people.
Yeah, she's a nice dog. Chris sent us a video of an eagle throwing a goat off a cliff to its death.
Oh, jeez.
It grabs a goat by the leg and pulls it off the cliff. Tim Berger says, KC gave up lots of prospects for Cueto and Zobrist. Some have been decent, some nothing, but who cares? They got a ring.
Well, they gave up, essentially gave up Will Myers for Wade Davis, and that's, you know, Will Myers is kind of, he was in Tampa for a while, he's in San Diego now, and he's pretty solid, but Wade Davis was a big part of why they won that ring. There's a handful of guys that they brought in. They essentially cleared out their minor league system, but it didn't matter because they won. And you know what? They're about to lose all these guys, probably these Hosmers and Moustakas's. Maybe they don't come back, but it doesn't matter because they won a ring. It really doesn't matter. And unless you're a team that goes out and has a massive payroll every year, that's kind of what you can hope for, honestly. And I think, at least for right now, Houston falls into that category because they're not going to go out and have a top 10 payroll every year. At least this organization doesn't seem like that's the direction they want to send the team. So what you've got to do is build up a farm team, get your young guys to develop, which is exactly what the Royals did, then trade away the guys that aren't on that big league team to get your big league team good enough to win it all. And I see so many similarities between those teams.
Yeah, I think the one difference is, and I don't know this, but I suspect that Jim Crane will spend money to keep some of these guys. Now, I don't know that they'll be able to keep, you know, long-term Altuve, Correa, Springer, but I bet they keep two of them. And I think this team will continue to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's try Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports.
So, quick question for y'all. Actually, a two-parter. The Astros are looking at trying to get the Verlander and Wilson, and then latest from today, they're talking about going after Britton, too. I was just wondering your opinion between the two closers, between Wilson and Britton. And also, would you be disappointed if the Astros didn't do anything on adding another pitcher?
Well, to me, I look at Wilson as more of – I don't look at him as necessarily a closer. I look at him as a guy that they would use as a left-handed specialist. I think if they traded for Britton, I think they would use him as a closer because I think he's got the best closing resume of anybody on this team. Ken Giles is a more proven closer than Wilson. So, if I could just get one of those two guys, I guess I would take Britton because, you know, he's a more dominant player. But I don't see why you couldn't try to get both of them.
Yeah. 832 says that was a harpy eagle. Lots of videos of them flying off with sloths.
Okay.
From Aaron.
Yeah, those are scary things.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, this is – now I kind of want to watch all these eagle videos, but I have a show to do. So, somebody mentioned Mark Appel is a pretty good example of that. You know, what has he gone on to do?
Nothing.
And that's one where now it was starting to become apparent that that was going to be a bad draft pick. But the reality is they when they moved him, there were people like, oh, I can't believe you gave up on that guy.
Right.
Well, guess what?
It was the right move.
Yeah. Hasn't exactly worked out for him.
Who's the guy that they took the year that they could have gotten Mike Trout? Like, they picked 22nd, and they could have gotten Mike Trout at 25.
Well, they could have had Chris Bryant instead of Mark Appel.
Oh, what is that guy's name? Is it man, it's going to kill me.
Somebody will know.
Giovanni Meyer.
Oh, yeah. Gio.
Gio.
You know how the Angels got Mike Trout, right? The Yankees traded for Mark Teixeira, and that compensation pick led to be Mike Trout.
Well, worked out. Sort of. Mm.
I guess it worked out for both teams.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, yeah. If you get a World Series,
you're probably pretty happy. Yeah. The Angels haven't gotten one.
No, but they did get the best player in the league, so kind of worked out.
That's nice.
But, yeah, I think from a and then the guy was asking, would you be disappointed? I won't be disappointed if they don't get anyone, because I do think that the price is going to be pretty high for some of these guys. Because I still think they can win a World Series as constructed. I just would like their chances a hell of a lot better if they got one.
Yeah.
And not just to have a third guy, but as you mentioned before, you know, is insurance in case Keuchel or McCullers gets hurt. And guess what? They both missed time already this year. And Keuchel's still not back. Looks like he'll be back next week. But, you know, that's a concern, is having those guys healthy. And if you were to lose one of them for the playoffs and you had another guy, I still think you'd be good enough. Right now, one of those guys is out. I don't think they have any chance.
I don't either.
Against those teams that we talked about.
Yeah, the teams you're going to see in the playoffs.
Right.
You know who another guy the Astros had that nobody wanted to move on from? There's two of them. Two guys that the Astros fans were really protective of. One is sort of old school. You remember Jordan Lyles?
Yes.
And Jordan Lyles was going to be like the savior.
He was it. He was the next big thing.
No, he wasn't.
No.
And the other one, they try to pretend like they didn't, but these two guys were pretty much connected, and everybody thought that they were essentially the new Bash brothers. It was George Springer and John Singleton, and people would not stop talking about how great John Singleton was. And, you know, imagine if you would have traded.
At one point, he was their number one prospect.
Yeah.
He was their number one prospect.
Imagine if they could have traded John Singleton before we found out what John Singleton really was. And that's the thing about prospects. You never know.
No, and some guys, like Correa was a natural, you could tell. I think McCullers, you could tell pretty early on, this guy had major league stuff. Doesn't mean he's going to be successful either, though, just because they have those kind of skills. But on the flip side, if those two were 1 and 1A and you traded Springer and not Singleton, you'd look pretty stupid right now.
Yeah.
Because Springer did develop. And, you know, it's taken probably a little longer than you would have expected. But, yeah, Singleton, that one was baffling because, and I don't even know that I think he's down at Double-A now.
Yeah, I think so.
I could be mistaken, but for a while, he would just tear it up at AAA, couldn't hit in the bigs, and then now he can't even hit in AAA.
It's also kind of amazing that the Astros are doing this, and they had the number one pick 3 years in a row, and two of those number one picks were essentially wastes. Mark Appel and the Brady Aiken year.
Yeah, although the Brady Aiken one got them.
It got them Alex Bregman the next year.
Right, so.
But it's a weird. Usually if you've got the first pick 3 years in a row, you miss on two of those, you wouldn't think you'd have the best record in the American League right now.
No. But you used one of them to get Giles.
Yeah.
And you used one of them to get Bregman, basically. So, I mean, that's at least you turned him into something useful. Okay, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. It's not that long from back to school. They're going to have new students that need your help. And these are good kids who are getting a second chance. They had to drop out of other schools, and there were a lot of reasons for that. And some of these kids just needed an opportunity, and that's what they get at Houston Can Academy. They work with them there. They give them an opportunity, and so many of them graduate and go on and do great things, and you can help. And school's right around the corner, so they desperately need your help. And by your help, they just mean a donation of a vehicle, car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Tractor. You got a tractor sitting out there that hadn't been running in forever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's running. It's just they will come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork, and your donation's tax deductible. So you can do a great thing, and you can get rid of something that you're not even using anymore, and now's the time to do it. Lots of Blitzers have stepped up. You can be the next one. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. I think we've got everything worked out now so that we can have the legend, the gambling guru of the world, RJ Bell, pregame.com. What's going on, RJ?
Well, listen, this is just a throat clearing for Wednesday.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have all this technical crap worked out by then, because this
Jong might have to come to work a little, like 10 minutes early.
Yeah, he's got to earn that salary, man. So what's happening today, my friend?
Oh, you know, I think it's funny because obviously there's, you know, a couple of weeks when NBA's over and football hasn't really, you know, even the preseason hasn't ramped up. And I would say there's more interesting stories that we typically probably wouldn't get to during the football season from the Vegas perspective than any week I can remember.
Yeah, well, there's it's interesting because I at least have CFL to bet on, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about the World Series of Poker. I want to see how much attention you were paying to that. That I didn't think there was that much interest in it, but the entrants were up a bunch this year, and I like the idea that they didn't do the damn November 9 thing for the main event. I'm glad they kind of kept it continuous.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just so hard. And the idea, I think they took, if I'm not mistaken, I think the final table was set Monday night, and then they resumed on Thursday.
Yeah.
Is that how you understood it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, to me, that's perfect, right? The main event has become such a test of endurance. And there's been various pros that said, oh, no one's going to win this thing, you know, above the age of 40 ever again. You know, many, you know, since this thing really jumped up with its number of participants in that 2005, 6, 7 range. And I think that's right, meaning that, yeah, a little endurance is good to be a factor, but the idea of playing, you know, potentially sometimes 14, 15, 16 hours and then playing the same the next day and the same the next day. The question becomes, it's almost like tennis, and back when it was Sampras and Agassi especially, I would watch pretty much all of the Grand Slams, and I, you know, literally the whole 2 weeks, I'd at least watch some of it each day. And to me, when the wind was really whipping, it was like, and the announcers, and it was hard to tell watching, but the announcers would say that, oh, okay, it's so hard to hit the ball, and the sun is so bright, or the wind is so whipping. And it's like, okay, I see how playing that way shows some type of skill, but is it really the same skill as who's the best tennis player? And thus, in poker, yeah, there's some type of skill if you can play 16 hours for day after day after day, but is it really the skill we want to measure? So I do like the idea of taking a few days off before the final table. And what I thought was interesting was, finally, is you mentioned the number of entrants across all tournaments broke a record. Last year was the record. This year broke it again, up over 12%. And then even the main – now, you can say, yeah, that's juiced a little bit, though. You know, more events or, you know, more of these kind of low-dollar entries to get those big numbers. But the main event itself, 2017, the most participants since 2010. So to me, that's a good sign for the health of poker.
And I like that it's on right now because, as we were talking about at the beginning, it's kind of that gap between sports. You get to November, you got football and everything else going on, and I think it just gets lost. So kind of glad that it's on now.
And you think about it, it's something that the non-standard sports, you know, not football, not basketball, not baseball, do a good job of is, oh, okay, there's this weekend, and it's going to be the weekend after the NBA Finals. Thus, we're going to have this. And it's great, right? Because what it gives us is not only something, you know, the best example of this is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Yeah.
Swear to God, every year, the question I'm asked that week the most is about Nathan's. And it just goes to show you, is literally, if there's only baseball on, the baseball game that's on ESPN that night is going to get a ton of action. But if there's an NBA game on that day, that baseball game gets sometimes like a third of the action that it would have gotten. You would think, well, why would an NBA game affect baseball? Because there are a big contingent of bettors that's going to bet whatever the hottest event is that day. And if it's a hot dog eating contest, bring it on.
Well, and interestingly enough, I'm seeing a lot of people saying that the handle on this McGregor-Mayweather fight is going to rival the Super Bowl. Is that being overly ambitious, or do you think that's actually going to happen?
First off, I think it's very important to realize when you hear about handle in the Super Bowl in Nevada, that is less than 1%, by most estimates, of the worldwide handle. So Nevada does $130 million. Well, worldwide handle, you could pretty much guess $13 billion. Now, that's an estimate because they're, by definition, a lot of it's illegal and there's no exact accounting. So if we say, how does the boxing handle in Nevada compare? I would say that's not near the same as what the worldwide handle would compare the way it would, because let's be candid, the fight's in Vegas. Vegas loves boxing, right? So if you guys come out, I'm assuming you're coming out, right?
We're coming out for the Golovkin-Canelo fight. I don't know if we're coming out for that one.
50-50
okay.
On
so,
the Mayweather fight.
All right, but let's just say that. I'm guessing that the chance, you guys have been to Vegas for boxing matches, what, 5-6 times in the last, you know, 5 years, right? At least.
More than that,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing the percentage of those fights that you bet are significantly higher than even fights equally as big that you didn't come out here, right?
Probably so, although I do a lot of online. So.
Yeah, and if you're a boxing bettor anyway, you know, it's a moot point, but there are not many boxing bettors
right. Anyway.
So it really is a situation of, it's back to that example of betting the number one event of the day or the weekend, and because you want to have fun on it. You want to, you know, talk to your buddies and say, would you bet? And it really is something that in Nevada, this fight is going to be much bigger than it is, let's say, with a bookie in Boston.
RJ Bell, pregame.com, our guest. I guess commissioners are finally starting to talk about gambling, and Adam Silver has always been fairly open to it. And I noticed he had a few things to say this week. Is this another good step in the right direction for us, you know, eventually getting everything legalized around the country?
Oh, no doubt about it. Because if you think about it, it's a net number, the interest for legalization, which is combined between how much people want it and how much people don't want it. And you could imagine if there were, let's just throw some numbers out. I'm not saying these are right numbers, but imagine there's 70 million people that really, really want legalized sports betting. But if there were 70 million people that really, really didn't want it politically, and let's be candid, does anyone think that the senators, you know, quote Dylan, senators and congressmen, is does anyone think they're sitting here saying, you know, what's the ethical and moral implications of this? No. They're looking at the polls in their state and saying, am I going to gain votes? Am I going to lose votes over this? Am I going to gain financial donors, or am I going to lose donors? That's the calculus, right? And if you think otherwise, then you probably live in a pretty rosy world and you know, congratulations, but it's probably not true. So if you have 70 million really pro, 70 million really con, well, it's a net neutral. If you had 5 million, so much, much smaller, really positive, and zero really con, then your net, in that case, is plus 5 million. So the irony is you could have 14 times as many people want something or some variation of that and not get it because of that net number. So my sense is the leagues, both in votes, but even more importantly in political influence, right? Who wants to fight with the NFL? Unless there's a reason, if you're a senator, right? Is just getting them to the point of acquiescence, of not being resistant. No one needs Goodell to be a cheerleader for this, right? And here's an example from March that I think is really important. When the Raiders voted to come to Vegas, the NFL had total leverage over Nevada before the vote, and much, 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 much less leverage after the vote. Because think about it. Is Goodell could have went and said, listen, Nevada, we're thinking about giving the Raiders, you know, doing a vote on this, but we need your commitment right now that when the Raiders are playing a home game, you won't have betting on that game. And if Nevada felt like that decision was going to dictate if the Raiders would come or not, I'm pretty sure they would have been willing to, you know, say, okay, you've got our commitment, or, you know, whatever the legal way to go about locking that in. The NFL didn't ask for that. And then it's like, okay, now it is very possible 3 months before the move happens, whenever exactly that does, Goodell could save face and say, hey, Nevada, we'd really prefer you didn't do, you know, didn't take betting on the Raiders in this situation or that situation. And Nevada's going to go, hey, appreciate it, Roger, what you think? We'll take it under advisement. But where's the leverage? So in a way, it's these, you know, it's the absence of the objection is all we need, because there's many, many, many more people that are able to or that have energy for yes for sports gambling than no. And the funny thing is, for the most part, this likely will be a state-by-state issue. So, you know, I think some might say, oh, the religious right in some cases might not like gambling. And if so, okay, that state or this state doesn't have to have it. But a California, a New Jersey, a Pennsylvania, you know, go up and down the list, then you can, right? Isn't that, that's what we've seen with medical marijuana. So my and then recreational marijuana. So my gut feeling is the domino effect that you saw in that sphere is what you would likely see with legalized sports betting. And I think the fact that the commissioners now are either at minimum neutral or positive. And lastly, I tweeted this out. It was a little image I did with Silver and the quote, and that's on my Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Here's the quote. My sense is that the law will change in the next few years in the United States. And to me, that's pretty strong, and I think it's reason for real optimism when it comes to sports betting.
Hey, RJ, I know this is maybe kind of blindsiding you here, but with all the talk about Kyrie Irving and asking to be traded, what kind of effect would it have on the Cavs' chances, and for that matter, the Warriors becoming even bigger favorites if Kyrie Irving were to leave the Cavaliers?
Yeah, it's a good question. Especially because Cleveland's the second favorite, right? And in theory, or not in theory, but in reality right now, they're a big favorite to represent the East. And it feels off in a way because Boston has a higher season win total. So right now, if you say, who does Vegas believe will win more games out of the 82 in the East, it's Boston over Cleveland. But now it's like, well, who does Vegas think will make the finals from the East? It's Cleveland over Boston, which makes sense, right? Because LeBron and his, you know, uncertainty about his passion for the regular season. Here's the analogy, and I tend to like to bring things to either strip clubs or buffets. Because I think, let's be candid, those are the areas that, you know, and we're talking men here and mostly men betting, that we can feel a lot of truth, right? You're at the buffet, there's truth. You're at the strip club, there's truth. Is, imagine you're going to eat three plates of food. Let's say Fred, right? Fred's off his diet. He's running hog wild. He's going to eat three plates of food before dessert. If they have lamb chops out there, and Fred's been waiting for those lamb chops, and Kyrie's going to be the lamb chops in this analogy, the best dish other than the lobster. LeBron's the lobster. Lobster's going to be there, no problem. So one of the plates Fred eats is lobster. Now, the second plate, he's thinking lamb chops. If, lo and behold, they take those lamb chops, let's say I get to them first and take them all, you think Fred's not going to eat his second plate? No, he's just going to eat something not quite as good as lamb chops. So how good is Kyrie? He's really, really good. The question is, if they did trade Kyrie, what would they get back? Now, you always hear in the NBA, oh, you trade a dollar for, you know, four quarters, and it never tends to work out, right? The one good player from all. And I think that's true in general. But until we would see who the replacement was, or maybe they would trade him for a bunch of future draft choices, and then take those to sign a free agent. And again, I'm not a cap expert, but I do understand, just like three plates is Fred's limit at the buffet, is they've got X amount to spend. If they don't spend it on Kyrie, they're going to spend it on someone else. So I think, no doubt, if Kyrie wasn't on the Cavs, it would be a downgrade. It just wouldn't be the catastrophe if, for example, Kyrie blew out his knee and would miss the whole season, because then it would be subtraction with no addition.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, and make sure you tune in Wednesday when you're going to get 3 hours of RJ on the Blitz.
And I'm telling you something. I'm going to let Fred bring it in, right? Let him feel good about that and take it out, but I'm taking the lead.
You're the pro?
We're going to be grilling Fred. I'm going to be asking the questions to the listeners. I'm going to do a little research on your background. We're going to really dig in.
You know, most of the info you want, you can find on his Wikipedia page.
Exactly. I mean, listen, I'm going to have one of my admin, almost like when Howard Stern does a deep interview, he has his admin read the books and all that.
Yes.
Deep dive.
I cannot wait.
I'll finish my autobiography before the show, so there you go. All right, RJ, looking forward to it, man. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Baba Booey. Yeah, that's they are going to get something back. It just seems unlikely that whatever they can get back will equal, like he was saying, you know, there's no way to equal whatever parts it is.
Whenever you trade a really good player, a top 20 player, it's almost impossible to get value back for him.
Yeah, like El Jefe's a Spurs fan. He was talking about trading Danny Green and DeJounte Murray and maybe a draft pick. And while Dan, I think those guys are good, I mean, if you're the Cavs and that's what you get back for Kyrie Irving, you can't possibly feel good about that. They're in a tough spot now.
When we get back, I want to dive a little more into these prospects that people are protecting so much and kind of give you a reason why sometimes it works out all right to trade these guys.
Okay.
You know, did a little research on some of the guys that they have here. And we'll talk about that at 6 o'clock hour.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Carbach and Monday, the release of Nigel. 016 is out. It's all over the city. It's going to be everywhere. In fact, it's already at the Carbach Brewery. A buddy of mine went by today and had some on tap. It was outstanding. Hop Delusion is there. That's going to be all over the city on Monday. If that's not your flavor, you're looking for something a little lighter, Carbach's got you covered there, too. They've got the Staycation, the Weekend Warrior, which is a nice hoppy pale, and the Love Street, which is a great Kolsch that's really good for any occasion. They've got all kinds of beers for the summer months. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing this weekend, bring Carbach along with you. Make it a part of your weekend. And remember, every Wednesday, including next Wednesday, they've got the Love Street Blues in the Beer Garden in partnership with the Houston Blues Society. There's no cover for listening to the tunes. Take a tour of the brewery while you're there. They've got normal beer garden pricing. Whatever you do this weekend, pick up your favorite Carbach beer or tell your bartender, please make it a Carbach.
case you don't know. The
well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.